It's Wednesday, so that can mean only one thing. It's time for another edition of Carrick Football's Beyond the Boundary, the only local football podcast dedicated to looking at all things GDFNL, BFNL and GFNL, where we talk with the movers and shakers. We're talking with some movers and shakers today. Jason Doherty, good afternoon to you.
Captain, how are you? Great to be here again.
Heath Jamieson will be with us later.
Oh, really? Is he Carrick's own?
First two-timer.
First two-timer already, hey? How good is it? It was always going to be Jamo too.
Elijah Wales.
Yes, from St Mary's. Very good.
Yeah,
yes.
He's got a fairly good football background.
Well, we'll find out a bit more about him. He plays good football too.
And the only person who refers to or has to be referred to with OAM at the end of his name whenever he's introduced at something. Neville Whitley, the president of the GDFNL.
What a great man.
He's going to join us.
Man.
Plenty of news this week.
Is there? A bit going on.
Let's start with Joel Bennett.
Yeah, not good.
Had an update.
No. Yes. How is he going?
He's walking.
Well, that is a damn good scenario. Yep.
So he fractured the C1 and the C2 in his vertebrae in the T7. So the C1 and the C2 are at the very top. Oh. And they're your pivot. They're the ones that help turn your neck.
Jeez.
The T7's between your 7th and 8th ribs.
God.
Yeah, so never good when you hear spinal.
Sounds like a car accident.
Have you seen the footage?
Yeah, I did. Yes, it looked like a car accident too, actually. Yep. Yeah, it was terrible.
Nothing malicious, so...
No. Just in the wrong place at the wrong time
Dan Grozdanovsky has reached out and sent on his well wishes, and Joel has replied with, don't stress, mate, it's just footy.
It is, it's footy. Sometimes it comes across like that, but it's good to hear that he's going well.
He will spend some more time in the Alfred. They're not sure how long. Yep. His mum, Linda, and fiance Tiff, in Melbourne, staying around the corner from the Alfred.
Yep.
And it's 12-week best-case healing,
yep.
So he won't be playing footy. And it's...
No. Gee whiz. See you in 2025.
Yeah, back end of...
Yeah.
Yep. So,
yeah.
Horrible way for his season to end.
Mm.
How many Whitley votes was he on?
Well, how many games they played?
Six.
Six. Well, he's on 18, so he could still win it. That would be a story.
That will be the interest of the night, won't it?
Well, he'd be pretty close, wouldn't he? I mean, he's a gun player, so that would be funny to see.
That's a positive. The negative of the week, Cameron Primer.
Yeah.
For his comment in the Colac game, right next to the umpire, right at a time when, and I know the club aren't rapt that it got out that it was a homophobic slur. They actually thought that based on that it was actually just written in the report as misconduct.
Yeah.
With a serious natured comment, but it has been able to get off the ground that it was homophobic in nature, and to that end, there will be a statement coming from North Shore and Cam Primer. If, as we record this, it's probably been the final throes of being developed and an apology coming. I believe Cam has contacted Colac directly as well apologise.
Look, footy field or no footy field, it's just unacceptable. It doesn't matter where it happens. So you would have thought in this day and age, especially with the coverage of it recently, it's certainly top of mind for everybody. So, we all have to be better at it.
12th team discussion in the BFNL has heated up. We understand through Ed Wilson joining us on our carrickfootball.live coverage of St Albans and West that the commission was finalised their response to the applications from both Surf Coast Suns and the 12th team yesterday. There was an interesting one doing the rounds about who the 12th team may be. And this has been debunked by that club.
Right.
That St Mary's would look to field in the Bellarine as well as in the GFNL Geelong West style.
Well, it's not unheard of, is it?
It's not happening.
No.
It's not happening. It's not a GDFNL club, and Neville Whitley will reconfirm that when he joins us a little bit later. He has rung every one of his 12 clubs in the last 24 to 48 hours and got, it's not us. It's nobody from the Colac and District League. Who is it?
Well, it's North Launceston. I told you that on Saturday. I told you they're coming across the Tasman and they're coming to play.
The Finesford Firebirds?
well, unless it is a new club.
The Clifton Springs Stingrays?
Maybe. I'm sure the Drysdale Hawks wouldn't be too happy about that, I wouldn't have thought. Just down the street.
No.
Yeah, why speculate anymore now? Like, tell us who it is. You know, fine, let's get it out and done if it's happening, and let's just move on.
Yep. The Cryo Schnitzel Rolls have... I know we're just going a little bit off topic here.
I was going to say,
the Schnitzel Rolls at Cryo have been rated very highly by the Invalide coaching staff as the best in the region.
Seriously, the people that you hang around with, I tell ya, there's always
Wanted this mentioned on
really,
the podcast.
Really, did they?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, they could have tried to win the game before they worried about the Schnitzel Rolls.
The...
There you go. What are they? That'll get back to him.
One win.
Yep.
and a draw.
I would be worried about the schnitzel rolls at Corio. I'd be worried about winning games.
Still 12 to play.
Well, they better hurry up.
Ollie Bridgewater.
Yes, K-Rock zone.
He didn't play last week. Yeah, so don't come on the podcast if you don't want to get injured.
Oh, geez, so Joel, you're going to be getting people who are not wanting to come on.
So Joel Bennett. Obviously, yes. This is not good. Ollie Bridgewater got concussed, but it was delayed against North Shore.
Yeah, right.
And by the time the delayed concussion kicked in, the 12-day protocol means he misses again this week.
Oh, right, because he misses 12 days. It'll be after the after the week.
Yeah,
yeah, right, through the week.
So
he misses two games.
So he's missing. Yeah. He's missing. Yeah, right. The 21-day protocol.
Yes.
Sorry,
so he missed three. Yeah, missed three games.
Yeah, and then they got a bye. Yeah.
Oh God. He'll be out forever.
Yeah, so he won't be back until...
I reckon that'd be scary, delayed concussion.
Yep.
I reckon it'd be much easier. Be much, well, much You're better to have
More
it.
Accepting
more
of
accepting
it.
Of it if straight away, rather than you wake up a couple of days later and go, why am I feeling like this? Yep. That'd be scary, I reckon.
So that's why Ollie Northam basically had his way with the Bell Park midfield last week.
He destroyed them because Ollie was nowhere near him.
You know.
Yeah.
So Cam Wilkinson's probably rubbing his hands together for this Saturday too.
Yes, he would be too.
Importantly, this Saturday, Port and Cause, Zoe Kennedy Foundation. You probably should talk more to that because it's impacted your family in a way.
Yeah, look, it has. I spoke to Locke yesterday. And
Is he coming on?
He is. He's coming on, yes, of course. He wants to know the time and we'll organise that. And I think he's going to bring somebody else as well from the foundation. Zoe was best friends with my daughter. They went to school together, played netball together, went to primary school together. I still remember the night that it all sort of happened. It was like the most devastating thing, 13-year-old girl. In the prime of her life, and having something that you would think in this day and age was something that you would be able to look after, an asthma attack, and just the knowledge and the education, the experience since that day through the Zoe Kennedy Foundation, but just through talking about asthma as a disease, it's just like it should be so far in front of where it is. So the funds raised, through the foundation goes to, asthma research, and it certainly has to be, something that we can combat in the next, 5 to 10 years and not in 30 years' time, because it should be better than what it is.
4 years ago, it's hard to believe.
Yeah, look, then this is the thing. So 4 years, we were talking, Locke and I were talking yesterday, they're in year 12 this year. So, it goes so quick, and, it just feels like yesterday. So the best way you can do is to donate, and it's going to be a big game on Saturday. I mean, they don't like each other anyway, and recent events, they certainly don't like each other, but they will come together because that's the best thing about community sport and community football is that at the end of the day, there's a great cause attached to it as well.
Uriah Hollard's going to join us in the pregame.
Is he really? That's going to be great. He'll love that back at Eldersley.
Yeah, so he's going to drop by and have a chat to us. I had a chat with Bomber yesterday. He's out injured. But I thought, what a good time to get him on for a chat playing against his old mob.
Yeah, that's good. I like it.
Indigenous round this weekend. I've seen some of the designs and they look absolutely outstanding. The South Barn one's already been debuted.
Yep, that's right. Saw that.
I think BJ O'Toole designed that one.
Well, I think so, because he had a comment on Facebook about how good it looked too, which was good. So I think he has designed a few of them. He's been involved in a few of them too. He's a very good artist.
Yeah, so that looks absolutely amazing. The Geelong West one has been designed by Ethan Little.
Yeah, right. Okay, that's good.
And there's some photos going around that we'll be able to share later this week of him modelling the jumper.
Nice, nice.
And it's incorporated using the G on the GWG jumper.
Yep.
Where there's a dot painting inside that. Looks absolutely amazing. Port Arlington of Orway. Well, Port Arlington actually have on their club logo, it's Indigenous themed.
Yep.
And that's been translated to their footy jumper. Mm. Drysdale have been known for some really good designs over the journey as well. So St Mary's won't wear theirs this week.
Right.
It's just a little bit too white to go up against Lara.
Yeah, fair enough. So it'd be pretty close, wouldn't it? Yeah.
So they're going to wear theirs against Colac in the current football.live game, which is June 15.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's good. That's good.
So talking to Colac.
There's some great designs going around. There's some really talented people out there, and they look great on a footy jumper.
The Giants one just looks like something you'd wear every week.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's like, well, speaking from experience now, the Geelong United basketball singlets and things like that, it becomes common nature for that to be incorporated into, to sporting clubs and teams and what they wear. So it's like it's, I think, Geelong probably wear it a few times here and there too when they, you know, they don't need to, but they love it. They love the jumper.
Anglesey have got one. Belmont Lions have got a really, and they've obviously had always a strong tie to the
league.
Let's
hope so. Yeah. Let's hope so.
Geelong Amateur, their female one is pretty impressive as well. So there's some really nice jumpers doing the round. I believe Newtown may be wearing theirs as well. It's not on the AFL Barn website, but I believe that will show up. Yeah, on Saturday.
Yeah, right.
Against Bell Park. Good. So, well done to all the clubs. But yeah, head to aflbarwon.com.au. There is actually an Indigenous Round page which actually tells the story of the jumpers.
Yeah, nice.
As well. That's so feel free to do that. Any other news around that catching your eye?
Well, I'm interested to find out finals. We spoke to Ed on Saturday. I'm interested to find out when they're going to get sealed and done, and like so people can start getting organised. It was an interesting comment he made about the Ballarine finals
being on a GFNL.
I
think the grand final will be at Leopold.
Yeah, it sounds like it will be.
I've always advocated for that. I've always thought, for the most part, it sits in the middle of all the Ballarine clubs.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's a hide from Anglesey and Torquay.
Yeah.
For Barwon Heads, Ocean Grove, Newcombe, Port Arlington, Queenscliff, Drysdale, Ammos, it's bang in the middle.
Should we have GFNL ones at Ballarine grounds?
I'd love to see at Queen's Park.
Yeah.
And I'm
just
being
from a neutral venue. I mean, like if they play them at Leopold or Geelong West, let's just say, for example, people did say last year about Leopold being in the grand final, and they're not, that's obviously been moved. But, I wonder what they think about from a finals perspective. Yeah. I know the GD have always, obviously played at St Albans, and I think the clubs have been accepting of the fact that it's a neutral ground. So
I would love to see Queen's Park used.
I'm sure Simon Farrell would too.
Yeah. He's back from the Kentucky Derby.
Yes, I heard. Yes, no, I heard he's back. Yes. We need to get him on. We need to get him on now.
And the good thing is it's recorded.
Live in the studio.
Yeah, we can get him in the studio. Just not live.
Yeah. The Queen's Park would be great. I mean, I've said, the interleague games that they played there a couple of years ago, it was probably five years ago. So it was a couple of years ago, 5 years ago. It was a great afternoon spectacle of football.
Any further on interleague? You did mention a few weeks ago.
Look, I think there's been some interleague games being played around the traps too, I see.
Golden Valley and Ovens and Murray are playing again soon.
Yeah, yeah. So, I think it's something that is sitting there. I mean, it takes two to tango. You need to find some others as well to be able to do it. But, I don't think it's dead and buried.
Okay. We'll keep an eye on that and see what unfolds. Plenty to talk about today. And we'll talk to Queenscliff coach Heath Jamieson as the Cooters look to bounce back after a slow start to the season. Jamo, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
What did you do with your weekend off?
Kids football. Went and young fella in the under-10s at Joey's, and then another one on Sunday in the under-14s at Queenscliff.
Did you wear your Joey's hoodie to the... Yeah.
What hoodie did you have on?
Always wear my Joey's hoodie when I go to Port St. Joseph.
Isn't there some sort of... Didn't Ali Waite put something in your contract to say you weren't allowed to wear any Joey's paraphernalia when you coach Queenscliff again?
Only at Queenscliff games. But if it shows games, I can wear what I want, I think.
All right, let's be serious for a moment, and that it won't last very long. How have you assessed your season so far, Jamo?
I think it's been interesting. I think, we're probably not happy with the 2-4 start to the year. I don't think you should be happy with that, but, there's been games that we've been competitive in. It just depends what you like, whether you want to be competitive or you want to win. I think we'd like to square the ledger away a little bit more than what it is at the moment. But, there's areas of games where we've been really good, areas of games that we just probably haven't competed hard enough for four quarters, which is something that we're trying to work on. So I think, we have got some talent on our list, and we don't want to rely that some people say that we're young and this type of stuff. We don't want any excuses like that. So I think, at the moment I would say there's areas of games that we've been happy with, there's areas of games that are cause for concern.
You and I spoke last week and you talked about you're going to use this couple of weeks as a bit of a back to school and education period for your players. What have you focused on leading into Torquay this week?
Yeah, probably just some more setup stuff and more stuff when you haven't got the ball in hand. So it's hard. Sort of, we spent the whole pre-season on how we wanted to move the ball and how we wanted to defend. But you know, there was just some basics of the modern game that we probably haven't captured. And until the games start, you know, it can be difficult to see areas of our games that we really need to work on. And probably one thing that we've identified is just when we haven't got the ball, where we position ourselves on the ground, probably hasn't been far from ideal. We've got forwards that probably don't work both ends of the ground, and yeah, just a little bit of connection stuff. So yeah, we've gone back to the classroom a little bit, but you know, we don't want to turn them into robots either. You know, we're happy with some areas of our game, but there's been some areas of our game that I've had to educate just a little bit more these last couple of weeks, and we hope that could have a better impact on the way we go about it.
Gemma, I know it's no excuse, but you are young. I mean, you are a young team. I mean, I know a couple of boys in the team, you know, Cal Taylor and Jonas Seacamp and a couple of others who are, you know, they're on the football journey of, you know, coming out of under-18s and playing senior football for the, you know, for the first time pretty much in a consolidated effort. So, it's going to take some time for them to switch on and play at the level that you probably need to have consistently in a competition that's a pretty crack competition.
Yeah, no, it does. And we've got time on our hands. And, yeah. Internally, we've, you know, been happy with lots of our footy this year. But, yeah, I guess it's just more the excuse thing. You know, you can't have the excuse of we're young when we're not going so well, when, you know, you compete for two quarters, go pretty well, and then, you know, you drop away for a third quarter and then compete again in the fourth. But for that third quarter, we're a young side that's learning. You know, we don't want to be reliant on an excuse. But there's players in our team that are also pretty experienced that can pull those players along in those moments. But yeah, we've got patience on our side. You know, we're giving games to those younger fellas that are going to come through and become pretty good senior footballers and have showed some really good signs. You know, and yeah, we've got time. We've got a little bit of patience, but yeah, we don't want to be reliant on that excuse too much.
One of those more experienced players is Luke Ford, who came in late to the program. Is it true that you signed him on St Peter's premiership night when they won three out of the four premierships, and you got him in a weak moment, and he decided to come down to the Cooters?
That's not true. But yeah, no, I've obviously been some crossover with cricket with Luke, and yeah, he's come down, and I think he's enjoying his time down there. You know, he's still trying to get to know the boys. It's pretty hard to just lob up not really knowing anyone. He didn't have any direct relationships with anyone at Queenscliff, so you know, the intricacies of each player is been a little bit difficult for him to learn. And but yeah, he's added a little bit to our program, had some experience. You know, he's a good communicator on the ground, so yeah, he'll be a good asset for us.
Can you give us a Kyle Hartigan update, Jamo? Was there a slight injury there for him that's, well, obviously Werribee commitments have precluded a little bit, but even if he was available, he wouldn't have been able to take the field?
Last game that he played against Newcombe, just the hammy got him. So, we're confident. He was unavailable for this four-week stretch anyways, which is Torquay. It's the last game, I think, of that four-week stretch. So, to be honest, I haven't got a real update for you whether he'll be back the next game. Last time I did speak to him, which wasn't long ago, it was still causing some issues. So, we won't take any. He's a big boy. His hamstrings are pretty important to him, I think. We want to make sure he's at his best when he's out there. So, and whether or not he'd be doing the same rehab as what he did when he was in the AFL would be... I don't think he'd be doing the same rehab as he has. So, we'll see how it is. He wouldn't have been available for this week anyway, but, I don't know how long it'll be out for.
How do you beat Torquay
it's
this
not, week? It's not like massive. It's just a normal hammy. So, yeah.
How do you beat Torquay this week?
We've just got to know that we've got to probably shut down their game a little bit. If we want to go into a shootout, it could be pretty ugly. So, you know, we also aware that Queenscliff's a pretty hard place to come and play. So every game that we've played at Queenscliff this year, you know, we've won two a game quite well, and we've ran Amos to the line. So we've only played a couple of games down there this year where we play pretty good footy at home. So we hope that they come with an attitude that they don't want to be there, and we come with an attitude that we really want to be there. And yeah, with a little bit of shut down their game and a little bit of local knowledge, we hope that it can be tight and a bit of an arm wrestle. If it's going to be a shootout, we probably won't win that. So yeah, we look forward to testing ourselves against them. They're the games that you want to play. They're the games I want to coach, you know, so we're excited to see what we can do.
Absolutely. Your president, and was mentioned earlier, Ellie Waite, she does a lot of your social media. Is Queenscliff one of the best social media clubs going around? Because some of the footage and that we get, players walking into training, basically being doorstopped for their opinion on, I think, Mother's Day presents to all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, she's a weapon, Ellie. She's got a lot of energy, and she's great. She's a great promoter of our club. You know, the social media stuff, I would agree, it's probably the best in Victoria for any local club, and, you know, she's got a passion for it. She's really good at it. So, yeah, we wanted to keep doing it, and the boys are starting to get a little bit shy, hiding around corners, but we've had a word to them last week that if Ali needs them on the socials, they'll have to put their hand up and be on it. But, no, she's fantastic. She's very passionate, and she just loves it.
All right. Do you know, Jam, I don't know whether you've been listening to recent episodes, but we've
got you hope so. We mention him every week.
We've pulled out. We've gone the old-fashioned 1980s player profile from out of the footy record, and we've just been pulled those questions out. And all our guests are going to be on the end of those. So, are you happy to be grilled?
I'm always happy to be grilled by you, Kingy.
All right. Full name?
Heath Aaron Jamison.
Azza.
Aaron with two A's.
Two A's.
Right. Date of birth and where?
Oh, here we go.
17th of 12th, 1982. People will be surprised by 82.
82?
I thought it was more 78.
Hobart, Tasmania.
Height?
194, I think.
Yeah, right.
Or about 179 in the old language.
Right. We don't do weights anymore, so you're grateful for that.
Good.
Thank you.
Recruited from? To Queenscliff when you came over?
Well, I played a year in Cairns, but originally from Clarence Football Club in Tasmania, coached by the great Darren Winter.
Yeah.
Windy. Occupation?
Coaching in the local area.
Yeah. Occupation?
Occupation. I'm general manager of a renewable energy company.
Schools attended?
Clarence High School. The football factory, they used to call that.
it's a Tasmanian equivalent of the Falcons.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, football factory.
Right. What car do you drive?
A Volkswagen Amarok.
Oh,
pardon me.
Sports played other than footy?
Come on. The reigning fifth best and fairest at St. Peter's Cricket Club.
There we go.
What else have you played?
Oh, a little bit of basketball when I was younger. Court coverage wouldn't be great these days.
Jackie Moon style.
I could be able to dish the ball all right, though, Kingy.
I was going to say, I reckon you just stand on the three-point line pulling the trigger.
Nah. More the handoff type.
All right. Favorite?
With, Jason Williams.
Oh, JML, wow. Favorite food?
Oh, roast pork would have to be the best, wouldn't it?
Favorite drink?
Stone and Wood Stubby.
Favorite singer?
Oh, singer.
Or band?
Band. Probably the Killers.
Right. Yeah. The Mormons from Las Vegas. One of the great oxymorons of all time. Favorite author?
Oh, don't read books, mate.
Who said Felicia Arena?
Save the brain.
Ollie Bridgewater did.
Specky McGee.
Specky McGee.
Favourite TV show?
Oh, it would have been the footy show back in the day, Sammy Newman. Can we stick with that? Or?
That's fine. Favourite movie?
Home Alone 1.
Good. Does that make Macaulay Culkin your favourite actor then?
Yeah, he probably is, back in the day.
Favourite holiday spot?
Thailand.
Biggest influence on your career?
Oh, geez. I'd probably have to say the old man. He took me everywhere.
Yep. Most admired sports person?
Gary Senior.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, like us.
Pre-game routine as a coach?
I write all... and probably the players that have coached have a laugh at this, but I do all my pre-match on butcher's paper the night before so I can just get to the ground and relax, and then I just sticky tape it up on the wall.
Yeah, nice. Biggest thrill?
Biggest thrill? Probably having kids would have to be it.
Biggest
is that where we're heading? Or
yeah, that's fine. Yeah,
that's fine.
Biggest disappointment?
Yeah,
having kids.
biggest disappointment? I don't know. I haven't been disappointed too many times.
If you could invite if you could invite three people in history to dinner, who would they be?
You two and Kirsch.
Jammo, when would you like to do it? How good would that be?
Pick your restaurant.
Well, pick your restaurant, but make it Parker's or somewhere like that.
All right. This is on a local level, or this is, you know, this is not AFL. Best player seen / coached / played with / played against.
Oh, I'm going to offend someone, aren't I? best player seen. I'm going to have to go Dale Carson at his best. That's going to offend a few.
Quarter 3, 2015.
Yeah, I just think he could beat him up at both ends when he wanted to.
Yeah. Matt McMahon still wakes up in cold sweats in the middle of the night.
That's good.
It's either him or Connor Giddings. Gives him nightmares. He admitted to that last week when we had him on. Jammo, thank you for going under the grill with our old-fashioned player / coach profile. We've learned a little bit about you, old Heath Aaron Jamison.
Lovely. Young Heath Aaron Jamison.
Jammo, appreciate your time, as always, on Beyond the Boundary. Good luck this week. Tough ask against the Tigers, and as always, a pleasure to have a chat with you.
No worries, gents. Thanks for having me.
Well, from Jammo, we move into a bit of GDFNL now, and we speak with El Presidente himself. He's been doing it since the mid-1980s. It's only fair that we recognise after 40 years of leadership that we get him on Beyond the Boundary. Neville Whitley, OAM, thanks for joining us on K-Rock's Beyond the Boundary.
No worries, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
It's been an interesting time in local football. Obviously, the restructure stuff has been on the agenda, but your clubs... there's a mystery 12th club going into the Bellarine, but I think you can confirm for us that it won't be one of your 12 member clubs.
Well, unless someone's telling me fibs. Everyone I've contacted over the last 48 hours are staying in the GDFL system and have not made any intention of moving.
Okay. So, your finger on the pulse, do you have any idea who this 12th club is?
There's a lot of rumours going around. I wouldn't have a clue, but well, they're saying that they're either out of us or Colican District, but I'd be surprised if it's anywhere else, but it could be. It just disappoints me that the transparency that AFL Bowen spoke about is falling on deaf ears.
So you'd like to them to have revealed who this 12th club is?
Well, I don't know, but it would be nice if the club that's interested would tell their the board or their executive of their intentions, and there's nothing wrong with clubs wanting to move, but if it was one of our clubs, we would want to know sooner than later so we could probably endeavour to get a club to replace them.
And that's the next point. There must be. I mean, you know, let's be honest. I've known the inner workings of the league for a long time. There's always been a penchant for the two division scenario, Nev. So, and I know you're a massive fan of that to make sure that clubs play at the level that they should be at. Like, what? How would you go about getting a couple more clubs to make it two divisions again?
Well, this Surf Coast, I've already said at one of the meetings that we would have a look at Surf Coast if they wish to apply to us. But that's a game that's falling on deaf ears because they haven't made any contact with us. And I think they think they're geographically suited for Ballarine football. But it's a matter of the Ballarine clubs whether they accept 11 teams at this stage or go into a 12th team.
Would you like to go back to the old 8-6 that ran so successfully for a decade, Nev?
8-6 was good. I'm not sure whether our club would like to go back to that way again. But if we had 8-8, it might be different. I think at this stage we're quite happy to stay as 12, but we're prepared to accept other clubs if they wish to apply.
Yep. Nev, obviously a scary incident on the field with Joel Bennett the other day. The updates come through that he's actually up and walking only short distances. But as a president of the league, no doubt you've been in touch with Corio and the team out there and just getting updates yourself. And I understand the league's going to play a role in potentially some fundraising for Joel.
Yeah, well, we haven't gone down that track yet as far as fundraising goes. We'll just play it by ear and see what is required by him and whether he's covered at work or what is required for his family. And without making any big statements that, we're there prepared to help. And I think they're trying to put through a GoFundMe page to help the family out.
Let's get on the field, Nev. I normally have a fairly good idea about who's going to win a game of football in the GD. This season has turned the tables upside down. It's the most even competition I've seen for a number of years, and to have the Belmont Lions sitting on top, it's not a usual GD season.
No, it's strange, but it's good for the league itself because you know the top clubs in the past are not performing to their best, and clubs like Belmont, Corio, all those clubs, all the lower clubs have all improved. But a couple of the top clubs have gone off the boil, and there's two or three that are still up there, like East Geelong, Bannockburn. They're still in the running for the top five. But Belmont's a mystery case because they're undefeated, and it's really good for the competition.
I don't think anybody saw 6-0 coming.
No way.
Absolutely had no idea. And then I don't think anybody saw Bell Post Hill beating East Geelong in round one either. But there's been all sorts of interesting results thrown up. Nev, obviously some reporting locally this week about the some umpire issues umpires had with North Geelong on the weekend. Is it with this new policy, is it time for an exclusion zone to be set up around the coaches' boxes? Now, there's some talk that, you know, it could be easy for a spectator to sneak in and be a rival spectator, but then all of a sudden be near the bench and start abusing umpires. Do we need to set up an area where it's just a no-go for spectators and non-officials?
Well, I know that out at Inverleigh, when I was at their Anzac Day and the week before, they have an exclusion zone behind the coaches' box. They've got it already flagged off. And I think it's a good move to do that at both the coaches' boxes because someone will stretch the rules to abuse it. And I think it's, as you said, it's probably time to have that exclusion time zone. But on the issue at Thompson on Saturday, the clubs have handled that in a correct manner, we feel. We don't tolerate. We have a zero tolerance of abuse to umpires, and it's a shame that people still think they have a right to abuse people over the fence. If it was out on the street, they'd get arrested. Mm.
Nev, this is a question that gets probably raised every couple of years. What, we're 83 now, nearly 84, is that right? Or 82, nearly 83?
84 this year.
Yep. How much longer can Neville Whitley go on as GDFNL president?
Well, depends on my health. But I'm in for another year, but I'm thinking of handing over gradually over the next, over the next 6 to 12 months. So we'll see what happens at the end of the year. But I think I've probably getting to the time where I should consider moving on.
Right. Is Jason Doherty the ideal candidate to replace you?
There is no way.
Yeah, well, he would have been if he'd jumped ship. there's a couple on board at the moment that would put their hand up, I think. But there's also other people at club level that may want to come onto our executive and may be able to stand up in a position. And, you know, whoever takes it on will do it their way. And it's been my way most of the time. But with the work of my executive, have already been really good and supportive. So, yeah, what happens? We'll see what happens moving forward, Tom, over the next 6 months.
Will you and Alan Moore go out together? And I know you probably don't want to speak for Arch, but you and he have been probably hand in hand for a majority of your tenure.
Yeah, we've been together a long time. I'm not sure what I'm not sure what he's going to do. His role would be taken up by someone else. There's people on our board that could do Archie's role, but they've got to get up with the rules and regulations and constitutions and all the things that go for a secretary's role.
All right, Nev. Now, I know you're an avid listener because you message me each week for the link to the show, so you know that we do these little profiles of people. But, Nev, I'm going to do this. You know the old school player profiles and the old footy records, you know, all that sort of stuff. What we want to do is we actually want to do it when Nev Whitley was playing at East Geelong. So I want you to take yourself back to the 1960s and how you would answer these questions. Are you happy to do that?
I'll try.
All right. Full name.
Neville James Whitley.
OAM. Although you weren't OAM in 1965.
No, that's right. He wasn't. That's right.
Date of birth and where?
4th of 640, Geelong.
In Geelong Hospital?
It was a little hospital, I think, in Sydney Parade at that stage, I think. It was like a private hospital.
Right. At your tallest, how tall were you?
6 foot.
183. To East Geelong, you were recruited from where?
No, I came up through the juniors at East Geelong, but didn't play under 18 football and came back and played senior football. But I only played mostly Jarman Cup because the sides were different back then. When you had two sides, the Jarman Cup was the second side.
Yep.
And you played away. The under 18s played at the curtain raiser to the Evelyn Hurst Cup.
Right. Occupation in the 1960s?
Oh.
Paint salesman. At Geelong Decorating Company.
Right. Schools attended?
Tate Street and West Post Primary when they were building the West Tech. And then when they wanted me to go from East Geelong to Minerva Road, I said no. But so I went to Geelong Tech in Merville Street.
There you go. What did you play other than footy? Any other sports, Nev?
Played cricket, but it was about either it was me on 12th man or 11th player. when it was really hot in those days, they put me out the field and someone had come off.
Who'd you play?
I wasn't a very good cricketer. I had it. My mother bought me a new bat and it still hadn't hit a ball by the time I finished cricket.
Who'd you play your cricket for?
East Congregational Church.
In the churches?
I played in two premierships, actually, in juniors and seniors. But I was always 12th man. or 11th man, the other bloke we'd alternate.
Favourite food, Nev?
Anything.
Oh, I reckon the surf and turf at Buckley's. I reckon the surf and turf at Buckley's gets a go.
Yeah, I've had a few of those. But Chinese probably.
Favourite drink?
Beer.
Favourite singer?
Oh, Elvis Presley.
Favourite author?
Oh, I don't read much, Tom. Just read football and horse racing and so some of the sports journalists.
What TV show were you watching in the 1960s?
Oh, wow.
Oh, geez. Well, we hadn't had television very long back then because it came in 1966. And my sister and I bought Dad a TV, black and white TV from Maple. And then they sent him the bill. So we wanted to watch the Olympic Games. I watched mostly sport, Tom, but not many movies. Linda's a movie buff.
Right, fair enough. Did you have a favourite actor or actress?
No, not really.
All right. Favourite holiday spot?
Fiji.
Are you going to the brains trust?
Hang on a minute, somebody's helping in the background.
Yeah, yeah. Reminded me. Yeah.
Who was the biggest influence on your footy career?
Probably Jeff Williams back in those days. He gave me about 12 or 14 games in the Everhurst. He saw potential in me, but at that stage I was getting a bit older.
Yep. Most admired sports person?
Joel Selwood.
Oh, nice. What was your pre-game routine when you were playing Evelynhurst?
When I was playing back in that time, my mum used to look after me really well. I'd have the whitest shorts, the whitest shoe boot laces back in those days, and the Jack and top liners. And so mum kept me nice. I won a best dressed football, best outfit football at East Geelong one year. So thanks to mum.
Biggest thrill, Nev?
Playing in the 66 Jarman Cup Premiership. That was our first premiership that East had had for a while. And then in 74, I was playing as president and played in the reserve grade premiership at East. And then in 73, I was president of the premiership side, but not playing. That was 73 was probably my best year.
Yep.
But 70, 73 and 74 were really ideal, and Glenn Bow was coaching 73, 74 era.
Yep. Your biggest disappointment?
Losing 74.
Right. If you could invite three people in history to dinner, who would they be?
Frank Sinatra, mm-hmm. Elvis Presley, and Joel Selwood.
Right, nice. Yeah,
that's
good.
A good one. Yeah.
And who is the best player you have? This is pick one I've seen, coached, played with, or played against.
Back in the 70s, there was a lot of good players at East. There was several, but I'd go for Keith Sullivan as our best player.
Sully, what a great man!
Against there was quite a few. I saw the boy, Alex Rizzo. I saw he was really good.
At Bell Park.
Yep.
Absolute star. Nev, thanks for joining us. Thanks for taking some trip down memory lane with that little pocket profile as well. We learned a little bit about you there.
That's good.
Yeah, no worries.
Always a pleasure to talk, Nev. Thanks for joining us on Beyond the Boundary, and good luck to the GFNL for the rest of the 2024 season.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Jay.
GFNL now, and one of the recruits that might have just snuck under the radar in terms of ability was Elijah Wales, finds himself at St Mary's, just renewing acquaintances with Luke Rayner, who once coached the club Elijah's from, which is Myrtleford in the Ovens and Murray League. And Elijah's been good enough to join us on the Beyond the Boundary. Thanks for joining us, Elijah.
No, no worries. Thanks for having me.
Obviously, footy career has brought you to St Mary's. Was it as simple as the link between Luke Rayner and the Wales family from his tenure in the Alpine country back 25 years ago?
Yeah, that definitely played a part. It's always good having a familiar face when you move to a new club. I also had a previous connection with Joe Mashman as well. So, once again, yeah, just having that familiar face always helped.
Yep. So, obviously, some games with Werribee, some games with Footscray in the VFL. But St Mary's, I suppose the Geelong region, was there a pull to this part of the world for a specific reason?
Yeah, so my wife, Jess, she got work here in July last year, so we made the move then. So we had been in the area for sort of 7 to 8 months, finished off the season playing with Myrtleford, travelling back, and it was probably just too much, to be honest. 4 hours from Geelong to Myrtleford takes its toll over the weekend. So, decided to pick a club here. And like I said, yeah, having Reigns there as with that connection, I think here my old man might have reached out to him, to be perfectly honest. And then, yeah, just started conversations from there.
Yeah, your dad has a great nickname, I believe.
Yeah, Bimbo. That's what he's known. So there's been plenty of times where you say, what's your old man's name? If I say Ian, they won't know him. But if you say Bimbo Wales, he's pretty famous around that area.
How did he get Bimbo, do you know?
No, I don't know, to be honest. He's had it for as long as I can remember. I think he had it from when he was a kid, so I'm not sure the story behind it. I haven't dared to ask, to be perfectly honest with you.
Sorry, we'll get him on Beyond the Boundary and we'll ask him, Elijah. What did we? So when you were living down here and travelling back, did you were able to get a look at the GFNL before you actually sort of started pre-season? Did you understand the level? Obviously, speaking to Joe and some others, you knew it was a pretty high standard of footy.
Yeah, so I guess the first, we played against St. Mary's. Manukau played against St. Mary's back in 2019, just in a practice match, played at the St. Mary's ground there. So that's probably the first interaction I had with the GFL. And then I think the weekend we moved, the first game of footy that I saw down here was actually the grand final. So went out to Leopold and watched them versus South Bowen. So as a viewer, I guess, that was the first game that I saw. But yeah, prior to that, I hadn't really had much interaction at all from the grand final. I knew it was obviously a decent standard and from what you hear talking to a few people. But yeah, other than that, not much, to be perfectly honest.
And you started pre-season. What's been the... So you obviously, you know, Reigns is one of the coaches and Glenn Keyes the other. And how in terms of the, you know, the coaching and the club and your integration into it, how has that been in the pre-season, in the start of the season?
Yeah, it's been really good. So Jess and I, we got married on the 17th of November, which I think was the first week of pre-season training. So the club were really good. Said, look, just take your time. Obviously, it's a pretty big event in your life. So take all the time you need, celebrate that, and then come to the club. I was talking a lot with Scotty Hosking prior to that. And then obviously, yeah, with Reigns and Keasty as well. But yeah, they were really good. I was really impressed with how they conducted themselves. And I guess how they've integrated us into their community. We felt very welcome to begin with. And then as we've progressed through pre-season and the season, yeah, it's been really good just building those connections with all the players and staff and everyone involved at the club.
Yeah. Fair to say your body's obviously not been the greatest over the last few years. You haven't been able to string full seasons together, but will that mean you'll be managed a little bit through this year? And I see you missed round four, and that was a management by the coaching staff.
Yeah, so yeah, I've had a few soft tissues in the past, which travelling back from Melbourne back to Myrtleford for quite a few years, like 3 hours in the car, up on a Friday night and then back on a Sunday, probably isn't the best for someone that's had that history. So that was another reason why I was looking to play at local level. But yeah, I guess I am 28 now, so it's understanding your body. And I guess rather than playing through soreness and putting myself at risk, that's something that the coaches have said, look, that they wanted me to be upfront and honest, because the last couple of years at Myrtleford, we probably struggled a little bit. So I guess you sort of put yourself through the paces to try and get out there and get the best result. But at times it was a detriment to not only myself and the team by having those injuries.
Yep. Obviously, new recruits come in, we have to identify new players, but you've made life easy for us by being, dare I say, closely cropped. Is it a fresh shave for every game?
Yeah, it is, to be honest. That's one of my pre-game rituals, is shave the head there. I decided to sort of 12 or 13 months ago, so just trying to get it look as sharp as possible while it's new.
It happens to the best of us, Elijah, unfortunately.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah, not you.
Yeah. Speak for yourself.
Yeah, old male pattern baldness. It just absolutely drags everybody down at some... Well, a lot of us down at some stage, Jase.
Yeah, some of you. Bad luck. You'll get by. It's okay. In terms of the players at the club, you know, who have you connected with, or who have you thought you saw them in pre-season and thought, geez, they're a fair crack of a player. Like, you know, in terms of some of your teammates, what's taking your fancy?
Yeah, so I guess when you do join a new club, it is quite difficult to pick who the senior and I guess reserves players are. Mm. I think St. Mary's is in a position where they're very competitive. So, I was pretty surprised with, I guess, the age demographic of the group, everyone being quite young. Mm. Whereas Myrtleford, we had a few reserves players, you know, were sort of 35 plus and a bit unfit, where it's been completely different at St. Mary's. But the players have been really good. So most of them are local boys, but connected with, you know, like when your better players, like your Jack Floods, Harry Bensons, I knew who they were coming into it all. I guess who I was probably most impressed by was Sammy Burke coming off the halfback. Mm. I think, yeah, he's got plenty of talent. And then since we've hit games, Sam Dobson's, he's a gun. So he's probably another one that stands out.
Yeah, Sammy Burke just needs a good feed.
Yeah, he does. He is a bit skinny there, but when he gets his arms up, he's bloody long, that's for sure.
How long were you travelling back from Melbourne to Myrtleford to play? How many years were you doing that for?
Yeah, so moved to Melbourne in 2015 and then played at Werribee that year. Yep. And then sort of with Footscray, we didn't have the development league, so travelled back to Myrtleford as my feeder club. So sort of on and off from 2016 to 2018, and then 2019 onwards, travelled back full time. Jake Sharp was the coach there. He was travelling back as a player coach, and I grew up with him, did a lot of schooling and stuff with him. So I guess that was the big pull. And then my family's been pretty involved in the footy club, and had brothers that have travelled back from Melbourne as well. So that made it a bit easier, travelling back to mum and dad's place on a weekend. But yeah, I guess on and off, sort of 8 years or thereabouts, I think it was.
Did you take your washing back?
Yeah, to be honest, I don't think I've watched footy gear up until this year.
It was well done. Playing. Good work.
Dinner on the table on a Friday night from mum always helps.
McNamara Reserve, which is Myrtleford's home ground, is one of the most scenic grounds you'll come across, with Mount Beauty in the background. It always seemed 5 degrees colder than what it was when you looked up to the top of Mount Beauty and saw snow, Elijah.
Yeah, no, you're dead right. So it is quite a scenic ground. There are times through the middle of winter where it does get pretty muddy. So I think you're better off looking up at the snow than you are at the ground. But the surrounding areas in Myrtleford, they're bloody beautiful.
And do they still do the fires in the 44-gallon drums under the shelter there as well? It's one of the great rituals, especially at Myrtleford, and a lot of Ovens and Murray clubs and clubs in the northeast do it. But that was always a highlight of going to Myrtleford for the day, was getting somewhere near one of those fires.
Yeah, definitely. They've positioned it pretty well, just next to Splinter's Bar there, so you don't have to travel too far for a beer. But yeah, I think it's well needed, as you said. Some of those crisp mornings, especially for the under-18s. I remember kicking a fair bit of dew off the ground when I was younger. And yeah, it does get quite fresh.
There was some talk about Gary Ablett Jr. pulling on a Myrtleford jumper like his father did back in that famous 1983 season. I think it's been documented in many a story and maybe even a podcast as well. But where did that land with Jr.? Is it been put on hold for a year?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure, to be honest. I think the game they initially went to lock in was the weekend just gone against Corowa. So my dad, he's been, the one that's looking to organise that over the past couple of years. He played with Gary Ablett Senior himself in that 1983 year, so he got along with him quite well. I think he's kept in a bit of contact with Gary Ablett Senior. So yeah, he's been really big on trying to get Gary Ablett Junior back. I'm not sure where the conversations are. I think they're still pretty keen to get him in for the season, but yeah, whether that comes through or not, I'm not 100% sure.
Well, hopefully, fingers crossed, that can happen at some stage. All right, Elijah, what we do in this podcast is we turn the clock back to the 1980s, and we've got one of the old player profile questionnaires from out of the old records, and we dump it on everybody that comes on the podcast. Are you happy to go under the spotlight a little bit?
Yeah, no worries at all.
All right, full name?
Elijah Wales.
Date of birth and where?
22nd of January 1996 and born in Myrtleford.
Height?
177 centimetres.
Recruited from Myrtleford, so we can answer that one for you. Occupation?
Working as an account manager for a sports merchandise company.
Right. Schools attended?
Marion College in Myrtleford.
What car are you driving?
A Toyota Hilux.
Sports played other than footy?
Growing up, played a fair bit of basketball and cricket.
Okay. Did you ever represent Myrtleford in any of the country squad stuff up there in the northeast? In the basketball?
Yeah, football. Football and stuff I did, but not so much in basketball. When I was growing up, we didn't really have too much rep stuff, where that's picked up quite a bit now. Yeah.
Favourite food?
Meat pie.
Favourite drink?
I'd go probably... I don't think you can beat cold water, to be honest.
All right. Favourite singer or band?
Gang of Youths.
Favourite author?
I don't have one, to be honest. Not much of a reader.
You got to take that one out. Oh, nobody answers that.
Nobody. Favourite TV show?
TV show. I'll probably go Breaking Bad was my favourite. Mm.
Favourite movie?
Favourite movie? This one stumps me a bit here.
Just say Shawshank Redemption. Everybody else does.
Yeah, that's pretty kind. 42, I think, is the name of it. Yeah, it's like an old sporting movie about Jackie Robinson, I think it is.
Yes.
So,
yep.
Yeah.
Favourite actor or actress?
Margot Robbie.
Favourite holiday spot?
America.
Biggest influence on your career?
Biggest influence so far, look, probably my old man, to be honest. He was involved a lot in coaching us, and then yeah, he's president and been involved in the footy club a lot. So yeah, it'd be him, I'd say.
Good. Most admired sports person?
Most admired, I would go Gary Albert Jr.
Pre-game routine?
Yeah, as I mentioned before, shave the head pre-game, and then I like to get a salad roll, but I'm pretty particular. I have to get it made up fresh there and get it cut in half. Just make it a bit easier to eat.
Love it. Biggest thrill?
Biggest thrill? I'll be a sucker here and say coming home to my wife after a day's work. Yeah.
Oh, she better listen.
Yeah. Biggest... She's in the room, so.
Biggest disappointment? Coming home to my wife.
Biggest disappointment, I guess probably trying to win a flag at Myrtleford. Obviously, things didn't pan out there. So that was a childhood dream, playing with my brothers and all my mates at Myrtleford, winning a flag. So, yeah, I guess now that I've moved on from there, that's probably one of the bigger disappointments.
If you could invite three people in history to dinner, who would they be?
Margot Robbie, for one. I'm a big fan of her. I'll say Michael Jordan. And I'll go with Gary Albert Jr.
Right. Best player seen or played with or played against?
At Werribee, we played a game with Daniel Wells. And, yeah, he dominated, to be honest. He did a few things that were just magical.
Nice. Yeah, he's a very good player. Very, very talented. Yep. Elijah, great to have you in the GFNL. Obviously, I got to watch a bit of Myrtleford when Raines was coach about 25 years ago, and I was well aware of your old man's feats as well, running around the red, white and black, and then had a couple of mates play there later on as well, and have always kept half an eye on how the Alpine Saints have been going. But we've got you in the GFNL now in the 28 for St Mary's, and you've started well. It's a cracking beginning to the season for the boys as you look to jag a flag in 2024, and for your sake, hopefully part of that. We appreciate your time, and thanks for joining us on Beyond the Boundary.
No, thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
What an impressive young man.
Absolutely. Spoke really well. Yeah, no, it was good. It was good.
Ready to do your tips?
Oh, I don't even know why I worry, to be honest with you. I'm no good at them. So, yep, sure.
GDFNL is an
it's a nightmare. I'm just going to, whatever I think, I'm going to pick the other one, I think, the way it's going.
All right.
Do we get a point for a draw? Is that what we're doing?
Yes, we are. I'm giving it. Yeah. Like, well, I'm keeping record. And
nice. That's good.
Because we're both getting, it's only you and I.
Yeah, no, it's going really well. You'd be well in front.
I've got to calculate. It's all right. GDFNL.
Yep.
For a start. Mm-hmm. Colac and Grovedale. GFNL.
Yeah,
sorry.
GFNL, yeah. Colac.
Yes, Colac. Leopold or St. Joseph's?
Ooh, tough one. At Leopold?
At Leopold.
The Lions by a point.
I'm going St. Joseph's.
Right, okay.
They are full of confidence.
Righto. Nice.
Newtown and Bell Park, Zoe Kennedy Foundation.
Oh, look, this is going to be another good game. I don't know. Well, Bell Park, if they're fair dinkum, have to win. So let's pick the Parkers.
I'm the same. Because I had Newtown coming out of the five and Bell Park going in.
If they're the real deal, they're going to have to win these types of games.
Ron Sells Cup, North Shore and Geelong West.
Oh, at North Shore too, isn't it? West.
Yep.
Yeah.
I like what I saw of West. Wonder if Paddy Eastman can produce another six. He was good post-game. A lot of fun with us.
No, he was good. He was good value, Paddy. No, he did well.
South Barwon are going to beat St Albans.
They well and truly are.
And St Mary's are going to beat Lara.
They certainly are.
But not comfortably.
No, it'll be a good game.
It'll be competitive.
Yes.
Right. GDFNL is round seven.
Hunting along.
Thompson and Corio becomes easier to tip because there's no Joel Bennett.
Yep. Thompson at the Town and Country Pizza Roval.
Bannockburn and the Belmont Lions. Bannockburn must be absolutely spitting it after losing by 10 goals last week.
Yeah,
they've been hit by injuries. James Chandler had to run around in their twos a couple of weeks ago.
Really?
Chip? Yeah.
Wowee. Well, injuries and good form from the Lions. 6-0. Wowee. I don't think I've picked them yet, so I've got to pick them. They'll probably lose now.
Yeah, they're going 7-0.
Yeah, Lions.
Winchelsea and Bell Post Hill.
Who would know about Bell Post Hill? One week they win and the next week you think they're going to win and they lose. Is it at Winch?
It's at Winch.
Yeah, Winch.
Winch just. North Geelong and Werribee Central's is an injury. These are all...
Yeah. Werribee in good form.
I think Central's win that.
Yeah, I think so.
Hello, Rico.
He'll be on next week. Oh, actually, nice. No, not next week. We're having a break.
Yes, we are.
We're going to have an early. We're going to have a bye with the GFL.
Yes, we are. Yep. That's good. And Jason's in Warrnambool. That's why.
Geelong West.
And Inverleigh.
Well,
they have to win.
Nah, Inverleigh. Yeah, so there's a lot of injuries at
the West.
Anarchy in East Geelong.
Oh, yeah.
Is this one of the five Sam Lloyd games?
I don't know, is it? No, East. East Geelong. Yep. East Geelong.
They're rolling around. They in the know, highly rate Ned Allsbrook.
Yeah, no.
There's feedback.
Is going nicely.
Very, not just, well, even if they weren't 5-1.
No.
The feedback on Ned is he's taken to coaching like a duck to water.
Yep. So, yeah, no, it's been a good acquisition for the Eagles, I think.
Round 7 as the BFNL resumes. Anglesey will beat Port Arlington down there at Anglesey.
They will.
Ammos and Drysdale.
At Ammos?
Yeah.
Yeah, Drysdale.
Got to find something, Ammos.
Mm.
I think they play finals, but I don't know whether they're just going at the moment.
Just half a pace off at the moment.
Yep. Mottawarri and Barwon Heads.
Oh.
Now, I reckon Barwon Heads belted Mottawarri by some ludicrous margin early last year, and Motta got him in the return bout.
Mm. It's at Motta too, isn't it?
It's at Motta.
Yeah, let's pick Motta.
Barwon Heads.
Righto.
Newcombe and Ocean Grove in the battle of the 0-6.
Well, you'd nearly say Newcombe. They've been in pretty good form, like even though they haven't won a game.
Went great against Anglesey.
Yeah, Newcombe. There you go.
Ocean Grove.
Righto. We need to have a bit of difference.
We
do. It's good.
And in the final game of the round, Queenscliff and Torquay. Sorry, Jamo. Torquay.
Yes, the Tigers.
CarrollFootball.live from 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon. Newtown and Chilwell and Bell Park. Zoe Kennedy Foundation clash. As we touched on, Lockie Kennedy is going to come on and have a chat about the foundation.
Yep.
Uriah Hollard is going to have a chat to us from Bell Park. And maybe, depending on selection, whether he's right to go, Mick Condy might be in to have a bit of a chat with us as well. Recently played his 150th for the Towners.
Did I smell 14 degrees and very cold on Saturday too?
We'll be turning the heat lamps on in the van.
Wow-wee.